Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host for this week, this very special birthday week, actually. And no, it's not my birthday. It's actually Friday Food Fight's birthday. It's kind of crazy, actually, thinking about the fact that we've been doing this show now for a year now. And we've had just so many amazing guests. The guests are just countless, and I can't wait to have some of them back on the show. But boy, what a doozy of a year we really have had. But we have got Mr. Bart Christian on with us again, nationally recognized speaker. And I'm really excited to just have a show with him and I this week and kind of talk about this past year and some of the changes and some of the things that we've seen. And, you know, Bart, I'll kind of turn it over to you. It's great to have you on. And obviously, we've been talking back and forth now for the past 12 months. And what significant has happened for you in the past 12 months? Just to kind of do a quick recap.
Well, I think I've learned so much about myself and about, you know, the reactions of other people. And, you know, I've kind of made it my mission over the past few months to kind of try to empower people again, show them how they can find that power in themselves, because so many people are feeling powerless now. And that's the one thing I've learned over the last year, is that we're not powerless. We have so much power inside of us that we let circumstances and situations overwhelm us psychologically, and we forget just how really strong we really, really are. So, you know, I guess the biggest thing I've learned over this year is that I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was. And I think there's a lot of people that need to rediscover that within themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been a testing year. And, you know, some people have, I've heard so many different stories about how people have handled the last 12 months, and some of them will make you just shake your head and say, I'm sorry, you did what for the past 12 months? And, you know, obviously those individuals didn't really handle some of the stresses that got thrown on us very well. You know, I've heard just some amazing stories about people triumphing over the challenges. And I mean, just look at school nutrition. School nutrition is a prime example of an industry that has triumphed and responded versus reacted to the circumstances and situations that we are all going through. And it just has been such an amazing experience in the past year for me, being able to talk with so many people in school nutrition, hear their stories, and hear, you know, the struggles that are unique to individuals and individual districts, but are universal across the board that we're all dealing with, and how everyone is really handling those different situations.
You know, the thing I find most interesting about the way people react to things is, now, you said it, you've seen some people that have, you kind of shook your head and go, what are you doing? And you've seen other people just flourish during this time. What is the difference? What's it if you take two people from virtually identical backgrounds and put them into the same situation, give them the same tools, the same things to work with, and why does one flourish and one doesn't? And I don't think it's got that much to do with how intelligent you are, because if you're a child nutrition director, you're a smart person. You've accomplished things. You're able to do a multitask and do multiple things. So it's not an intelligence thing. I think so many times we handcuff ourselves. And I heard a guy say one time that, you know, our greatest enemy is, it was a pogo. Pogo said, we've met the enemy and it is us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the truth. I mean, we paralyze ourselves. Given the same tools, one person does well and one person doesn't. It's got so much to do with what's going on up here, I think, more than what's going on out here, if that makes any sense.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. I think it also has a lot to do with your perspective on the situation. And again, going back to, you know, it is a lot upstairs versus, you know, being, you know, around us in an environmental type of a way. But it has to do with the way that we're looking at the situation. You know, is this a doom and gloom situation where, you know, the world is coming to an end? Or is it an opportunity for us to grow and to learn more about ourselves, to learn more about our family? We've talked to so many guests over the past 12 months who, you know, we ask them, you know, what's one thing that you're obsessed with right now, you know? And, you know, I can't tell you how many people responded with, you know, I'm obsessed with my family right now. And that's just one thing that I've really, you know, kind of gone back to time and time again, you know, over the past 12 months, is just how important those connections, those relationships are around us. And, you know, you can choose and it is a choice to look at it as, you know, the world's coming to an end. There are so many things that are outside of my control, and I'm going to let those all weigh me down and get me to a point where I can't get out of bed in the morning because I'm so depressed and have so much anxiety. Or I can refocus and say, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to reconnect and build stronger bonds and relationships with the people that are honestly the most important. Those are the people that you do have the ability to connect with in a physical, you know, you high five them, you can talk with them in a Zoom meeting, but you actually have the opportunity to potentially make an impact on their life. People overseas and people in Washington, you're not gonna make an impact on their life. You know, there's nothing, you know, you stressing out about those situations are not going to change those situations, but actually focusing on the things that you do have control over, I think that's another key piece to it.
Well, I've said this to audiences all across the country hundreds and hundreds of times, is that when I recognized the things that I had no control over, and I stopped stressing over them, my stress level went down dramatically. You and I both have met Jack Canfield, and I've had the opportunity to share the stage with him a couple of times. And he is the author of, as everybody knows, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Jack told me one time, sitting behind stage, he said, you know, Bart, if you can master this one little formula, and it's in all his books, if you can master this one little formula, and I said, what's that formula? And he said, E plus R equals O. I said, okay, so what happens if you master that? He said, the world changes. He said, the world changes. He said, you see everything differently when you understand that events plus your response or reaction equal the outcome. I said, well, Jack, you can't control the events and you can't really control the outcome. He said, well, he said, that's true. He said, what you control is how you react or respond to it. And he said, you can greatly influence the outcome if you react in the correct or respond in the correct way. And so many people react to situations. They knee jerk. They, you know, it's just like when you take a medicine. You take a medicine and it doesn't work on your body and you get sicker. They say you're having a reaction. And that's what most people do when things don't go their way. They have a reaction. They just react. And then they don't get that. Then they wonder why things don't turn out the way they want them to. But if you'll just take a deep breath and look at the situation, and go, okay, what is it that I want to happen? What do I want to happen? This is what's happened. What do I want to see come out of this? And think about your response in that way. It's kind of like, Wes, when you come home, if you're in a bad mood, if you've had a bad day, you know, you played bad round of golf, you ran over the neighbor's cat, you know, whatever, you know, something doesn't go right. And you walk in your door carrying that baggage and you notice immediately that Dana, your wife, has had an equally bad day. Now you have a choice, and your choice is this: do I dump my garbage out right here and then not get the outcome that I want? Because I hope that when you go home, you always want to have a pleasant night with your family, a pleasant night with your spouse. That's the outcome you desire. But if you don't think about that when you walk in the door and she comes at you and you go at her, and then all of a sudden y'all are bam, 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 because you both had bad days, neither one of you are going to get what you want. So I've learned to walk in the door when I've had a bad day, take a deep breath. If my wife said, I just listen. That's my response. I just listen, because the outcome I want is to be holding her hand, you know, watching TV or rubbing her feet or whatever when it gets later in the night. And I think that's what so many people miss. They miss the power that they really have to influence the outcome in their favor by simply taking a deep breath and thinking about what they want to see happen, not what has happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great advice. Challenging at times, but definitely something that, you know, to keep in mind and you know, apply as much as possible. Now, I want to go back to something that you mentioned, though, because you had mentioned that, you know, you've told this to audiences all over the country. For those of, you know, the folks that are watching this that might not know exactly what it is that you do, tell us a little bit about some of the speaking that you do across the country. What do you talk about? And, you know, also tell us how the last 12 months has kind of, you know, I guess maybe caused you to change some of those speaking engagements, or I guess pivot, for a lack of a better way to put it, I continue to do some of those for districts across the country.
Well, you know, I got 25-year background in food safety and sanitation and in child nutrition and in food service, and you know, I started out talking about a lot of different things, but what it's morphed into prior to the pandemic was I spoke a lot on inspirational, motivational type of things for child design, specifically for education groups, primarily child nutrition, you know, what they call certified workers. I've spoke to bus drivers and custodians, and I've also spoke to teachers and superintendents too. But, you know, the my topics generally revolve around, you know, personal wellness, dealing with difficult situations, conflict resolution, you know, leadership, those types of coaching, employee coaching, those types of things, because I kind of have made it my mission in the last few years to make this group of people that sometimes prior to the pandemic, again, were kind of in the background. Nobody really, they were critical and vital to an organization. Now, if the principal doesn't show up to a school, well, the school goes on working for a long time because, you know, the staff runs the school, really, you know. But if the custodians and the child nutrition workers and the bus drivers and those people that keep the wheels turning decide not to show up one day for work, everything stops.
It's going to be a hangry day.
It'd be a hangry day. And so, you know, that's, I've kind of made it my mission to uplift those people and let them know that they're important. We just started something on Monday, child nutrition soup, our lunch superhero day is in May the 7th. I can never get that right. And we began on Monday handing out child nutrition superhero certificates, certifying every site that we work with across the Southwest as certified child nutrition superhero headquarters sites. And so we've been taking pictures and getting, and there's a lot of excitement every time we walk in and hand out a certificate. And it's been a lot of fun because I think that, again, you know, these people have been on the front lines for a year, and everybody knows who child nutrition is now. They might not have known, you know, they might not have known 15 months ago, 16 months ago, but they absolutely know now, and they know how critical and vital and important they are. And that's kind of been the message I've been trying to get out. As far as pivoting, you know, everything's on Zooms. You know, we're doing Zooms. I've done Zoom meetings for several associations over the past few weeks. You know, as far as live in-person stuff, it's been none of that. I did a couple of things in July and August of last year, but I am getting requests now for the fall of this year, which is encouraging. I mean, I think that's, as you and I both know, this is an industry of this is a touchy-feely industry. You know, people love what they do. They don't do it for the money. They do it because they love the job and they love the kids and they love each other. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back out and sharing that message in the fall, because I think we're gonna see things begin to open up again.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I can't wait to get back to some of those in-person meetings, state conferences, national conferences. Oh boy, they're gonna be fun.
They are gonna be fun.
Well, I gotta ask you. So, Mr. Motivation, if you could put a sign, a motivational sign, inspirational sign, funny sign, in every single school nutrition cafeteria across the country, from Mr. Motivation here, what would you put?
You know, I go to three words, and that's believe you're powerful. I think that's, you know, one of the things I think that we're lacking right now is, I mean, this whole situation has kind of stolen people's resilience, their momentum, their well-being, their connection with each other, and their power. And so, and I think that, you know, something's as simple as you're important, you're powerful, believe it. And because that's the key. That's what we go back to what we talked about earlier, is people don't believe they've got the power. They don't believe they're sometimes they don't feel like what they do is important because it's such a behind the scenes kind of thing. But, you know, I think something like that, you know, you're important, you're vital, you're powerful. Believe it.
I love it. I love it. You know, a lot of your motivation and things I, you know, would assume come from, you know, readings and studyings. I know that you're an avid reader. I know that you love to, you know, constantly grow from an educational standpoint. What's a book or a magazine, an article, a podcast, an audio you've listened to, a movie you've watched that has inspired you over the past 12 months?
Well, I've been in the last 12 months, I've been, you know, and I'm going to get maybe a little spiritual with you guys, but, you know, in the last 12 months, I've made a real study of the Bible. You know, I'm not an expert, but there's a whole lot of life advice there and a whole lot of good stuff that people can use. And I've been really, I made a study of the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms, and ran through the New Testament again. And I think, you know, I just kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different things that I didn't know. And there's so, I mean, this is so funny. You know, I had a guy tell me, Zig Ziglar, I had the great opportunity to spend some time with Zig Ziglar one time. And I kind of confessed to him that I had stolen a few stories from him. And he laughed and he said, well, you know, I stole them all from Moses. He said, because, you know, there's nothing new. It's all just how you say it.
Yeah.
You know, I did reread The One Thing, which I think is a fantastic book. You know, I did reread The Compound Effect, and I'm in the midst right now of reading Darren Hardy's new book called Roller Coaster Entrepreneur, which talks about pivots. It's talking about the ups and downs of life, the ups and downs of business, and how you can and how important your response to it is. You know, that when things don't necessarily go your way, and they're not always going to go your way, and you and I both know that, that it's not what happens to you, it's how you deal with what, it's how you respond to what happens to you. So I guess that's the book I'm reading now, is The Roller Coaster Entrepreneur by Darren Hardy.
Very good. I've read all of those books. Excellent, excellent books. You know, in the past 12 months, it's interesting because I still do subscribe to motivational books and, you know, inspirational books, things of that nature, business-related books. Mm-hmm. But I've been rediscovering fiction books here recently. And I think that there is a lot of, at least I have found a lot of, kind of a new understanding of just, you know, how my mind works and the things that motivate me just by reading fiction books. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not learning anything that I'm going to go and apply to, you know, business or necessarily my personal life. You know, it's really just helped me to get back to enjoying the little things. And not stressing about, you know, things that are, again, out of my control, or stressing about things that just need patience. And I think that with, you know, fiction books, it allows me to kind of have that disconnection. And I think that that disconnection from, you know, we've talked about it, you know, the home, work, balance, you know, and kind of, you know, making sure that you're, you know, balancing all the different things in your life in an appropriate manner and giving every, you know, aspect of it not equal, but an adequate amount of attention. Mm-hmm. You know, with that, I think that there's a lot of power in disconnecting as well. And you can do that disconnection in my opinion, in a lot of different ways. Some people meditate. Some people work out. Some people might read fiction books. Maybe it's you watch a movie. But I think it's so important. And I've really kind of found this over the past 12 months because I kind of gotten away from that that personal time. You know, it kind of was all blending together, and it's easy to do that. It's easy to take work home with you, and then your home life becomes your work life, and your work life becomes your home life, and all these different things. But having those boundaries where you can say, you know what, work is done. This is family time. And then, okay, well, your family's done in the evening, so we got 15, maybe 30 minutes before bedtime. Read something that's just entertaining, just to relax the mind and just not think about work or family for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how it has just so greatly improved my daily mood every single day. You know, not so much that I'm, you know, thinking about the book or thinking about, you know, something along those lines, but it just makes me smile sometimes. And it sounds silly potentially, but no, it's just, you know, finding those little things that bring joy to your life. I feel like are just so important right now.
You know, I could not echo that and agree with that more. And, you know, we just finished talking about a pivot. We just finished my first course that we're going to be offering to people on personal wellness in a crazy world. And one of the modules in the course is called It's Okay to Be Selfish, because it's okay to be selfish. Sometimes you have to be selfish. Sometimes you have to make sure that you're being guarding yourself, because you can't give from that which you do not have. And if you're not guarding your peace of mind, if you're not guarding your attitude, if you're not guarding your joy, then you're not going to have any of that to give away to anybody else. And I think that's the key thing you have to understand about that, is it's okay sometimes to tell people, no, I can't do that. It's okay to, you know, block yourself off for 15 or 20 minutes. I get up every morning about an hour earlier than I probably should or would have to, just simply so I can read. and meditate and journal, because that's my quiet time. And that's what keeps me, keeps all the marbles in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Zig Ziglar a second ago, and I'm just curious. I've never asked you this question before, but besides Zig Ziglar, who is someone, a person that you feel is a mentor to you? Someone that is maybe that you've learned from over the years?
Well, a friend that I know, somebody who's guided me through the child nutrition world, is two people, two retired directors, two former presidents of the the School Nutrition Association. And that's Miss Nancy Rice from Griffin, Georgia, and Karen Johnson from Yuma, Arizona. Two very dear, dear, close friends that really helped me to navigate my way through my early days in child nutrition. And I don't know that I would be sitting right here today if it were not for those two people. Another person that is kind of like a Zig Ziglar kind of person to me, who's really expanded my thinking and made me understand that there's, you know, that as far as business goes, as far as personal development goes, and that's Jim Rohn. You know, Jim Rohn, nobody's ever listened to Jim Rohn. He's been passed away. He's gone on many, many years ago, but he is a very smart guy, very intelligent, very easy to listen to, and full of wisdom about life and about business and about personal development. Actually, he's Darren Hardy's mentor too. Darren Hardy, who wrote Compound Effect and Roller Coaster Entrepreneur, was what he was shares that same thing. A lot of similar kind of information when you read Darren and listen to Jim.
Yeah, no, Darren definitely echoes Jim in so many ways, and Jim Rohn is just an amazing influencer over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, and I find that, you know,
I got a question for you. How about you?
For someone that has been influential in my life?
Yeah. What's that? I hear you talk about a lot of people, but who turns you on?
Well, and not to blow smoke at you, but I have learned a ton from you over the years, and I credit you to actually getting me in the school nutrition industry, because I get asked that question all the time when I'm, you know, on a golf course and just making small talk with people. You know, how did you get into that line of work with working with school nutrition departments? And the honest answer is I would have never gotten, honestly, probably exposed to this had it not have been, you know, working with your company and the Southwest, and then ultimately, you know, loving the industry so much that, you know, wanted to do something a little more on, you know, a larger scale, and, you know, starting, you know, Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. But, you know, that you have been a major influence, and just, you know, having exposed me to this since I was, I don't even know how long it's been. 12 years old. Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, there's still people in Arizona that, you know, I'll go and see that call me Baby Bart, because I was literally a baby just about, you know, going into schools with you and, you know, servicing kitchens from, you know, early on. So a major influence with getting me into school nutrition. From a life standpoint, I would say that Darren Hardy's had a major influence on my life, and I would consider him to be a mentor as well, even though I've only met him once. So he doesn't probably even know who I am, but I still consider him to be one of my mentors. I've learned just a ton from him. Tim Ferriss, I cannot tell you how much I have learned from him. He has been a major, major inspiration and motivator in my life. From a number of different areas. And he's got a podcast that I listen to regularly. He's got several books that I've read all of, one of which is 4-Hour Work Week. You got 4-Hour Body. You got Tools for Titans. There's just tons of them. But I have learned so many different strategies and techniques that have really helped me with time management and just life skills, especially with business. And, you know, one person that I continue to learn from now who is a current coach of mine is a man named Armin Morin, who has been, I credit him to being able to walk me through building the what is now School Food Handler platform and Food Handler Solutions training platform. Because without him, I probably wouldn't have been able to figure out the complexity of what I taking what was in here and putting it into a functional format that other people can utilize and find value in was a challenging task, but he helped to kind of coach me through all of that. So very grateful to him as well. But I would say that, you know, you, Armin, Jim, or Darren Hardy and Tim Ferriss, not to put you in the same category as Darren Hardy and Tim Ferriss.
Hey, I think that's a good group to be in. I appreciate that. So, hey, let me, look, you know, I think one of the things a lot of people don't know about you is that, you know, about your family, you know, I know that you've been married to a beautiful woman. You got two beautiful kids. Tell us a little bit about what that experience is now like, having, you know, being a dad and, you know, and having kids running around. I mean, I think that there's so much our eyes get opened up to when we start to have children and start to be around children. So quickly share with us what that's meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, the change, the mental shift that happens when one becomes a parent is dramatic. Mm-hmm. And you go from being an individual in the world, very little responsibility in the grand scheme of things, to being responsible for other people. And, you know, you get married, then it's you and your wife, and then you have kids and you have kids. And there is a lot of growing up that has happened in the past 5 years for me, a ton of growing up. So that's been exciting. It's been challenging at times. There was a lot of change in my life all at once. So, you know, I've learned a lot about what you mentioned resilience earlier. I've learned a lot about that word in the past 5 years. Because outside of us going through a pandemic at the moment, you know, I mean, I got married and immediately after, or a year after that, we found out that we were pregnant with our first son. You know, shortly after that, we moved states. And then, you know, about a year and a half after we moved states, we found out we were pregnant again. And, you know, here we are going through a pandemic. So it's been a lot of back-to-back-to-back, very intense, stressful moments at times. And it's amazing how you deal with certain things. And not that any of that stuff was negative. The birth of your child is a beautiful thing. Getting married is a beautiful thing. But it still brings its own set of challenges. And the one thing that I have really taken away from everything, all the changes, all the life shifts, everything in the past, you know, 5 years has really boiled down to take one thing at a time. And that goes back to the book you mentioned a second ago, which has, again, made a huge influence on my life, which is The One Thing. And I go back to some of the lessons that I've learned from that book time and time again, and it really has helped with when I feel overwhelmed. You know, because overwhelm hits everyone. I think it hits every single person at some point in their life. It might even happen on multiple times throughout the week for some people. But that moment of overwhelm is quick to go away as well. As long as we can take a deep breath and take one thing at a time, get through one task and move on to the next task. You know, when we sit there and we look at our laundry list of items that we have to do, we can easily get overwhelmed and not get anything accomplished. But when you fold that piece of paper in half, and then you fold it in half again, and then you fold it in half again, so that you're only looking at one item at a time, well, that's how you're going to get through that long list of things that might, for, you know, a lot of people, seem like an impossible thing to get over. Because that is one comment that people have made to me on multiple different occasions is, you know, you just get stuff done. Like, you just have a way of getting things done. And that's how I get things done. I just focus on one thing at a time. I don't let everything else bother me. And I think it probably annoys you at times, because you'll call me up and you'll want to talk about something. And I'm just like, got it. Okay, talk to you, bye. And it's not that I'm trying to be rude, but I'm so focused on the one thing that I need to get done that I can't focus on anything else, because I know what it takes to get done with a really long set of items. And it really just takes focus on a singular piece of that big puzzle. And then ultimately you'll get done with that 1,000-piece puzzle that seemed impossible.
Yeah, you know, I you've taught me so much about organization, to be perfectly honest with you, because, you know, I'm a creative, so I'm sometimes harem scarem with things. And you've taught me a lot about that. And one of the things that you taught me was to, we've been to a lot of meetings together, been a lot of things. And one of the things that hit you many, many years ago that I don't know if you even remember was when a friend of ours named David Tyberski was talking about cutting your list down and going to, you know, looking at only three things. So that's what I've done every day. I wake up every morning, I have a whiteboard behind my desk, and I either have written three things or two things or things that I know that are on my I'm not doing anything else until those are done. And that's helped me a lot because I tended to jump around a lot. And, you know, when we talk, I tend to do that, but it's just kind of my nature of talking is not my problem. Shutting up is my problem. So, but yeah, I get where you're going with that. I cannot recommend two books to people enough. And that is The One Thing. And that is The 4-Hour Work Week. I completely forgot about that. That is a great book that I read when you recommended it to me, you know, I guess about a year ago. And it does make, you know, it's a deceptive title because it's not really about a 4-hour work week. Possibly it is, but it's really about guarding your time and getting the most out of your time and doing things like time blocking and making sure that if you're going to, you know, if you're going to look at emails, look at them, you know, between 9:30 and 10 and 3:30 and 4, whatever. You need to block it. You don't sit there and let your email dominate your day. You don't let your text dominate your day. You don't let your, you know, what dominates your day is what you want to dominate your day, not what other people throw at you. And that's very difficult in this day and age where people have their emails popping up, their phones dinging. It's very difficult to, let me rephrase that. It's not that difficult to do. You just have to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so many things are, I've said this many, many times, that the keys to so many things are simple to understand. They're easy to understand, rather. They're not necessarily so simple to implement because they require you to do something. They require you to put the do not disturb on your phone, cut your notifications off, make sure that from 11 to 12, I am not going to do anything except X. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you'll find yourself to be tremendously productive if you'll do that. And you're a master at it. I struggle with it.
Well, I have found that we give so much of our power to things.
Yep.
We've given up so much of what makes us uniquely amazing to things like social media, to your cell phone, to all of these instant gratifying things that are around us. And what we ultimately are doing is we're just stretching ourselves so thin that by the end of the day, we've spent 15, 20 minutes, and in some people's cases, 2.5 hours on social media. We've spent 4 hours on email, but ultimately we didn't get anything done. So at the end of the day, we feel so unaccomplished and we feel powerless to all of these things around us that are just draining. So when you apply some of these tools like you're talking about with, you know, some of the things you'll learn from those books, if you, you know, decide to, go and pick one up, is that you can get that power back. You can feel that sense of accomplishment at the end of the day, which ultimately is it's an avalanche effect or a snowball effect. You know, it builds over time, you know, and you can ultimately over time get more and more and more accomplished, which isn't, I mean, for some people, you might be saying, well, why do I want to get more accomplished? I just wake up this morning, I do the same thing every single day. I go to work, I come home, I, you know, play with, you know, the family, and then I get up and do the same thing. Well, the feeling of accomplishment isn't necessarily just about the wheel that you're in. It's about the power that you bring to that wheel and ultimately the power that you're giving to other people. And you told me a long time ago that, you know, our communities, our schools, our families are like ponds. And each one of us is like a little raindrop that's hitting that pond and rippling out across other people. And you also brought up a point earlier where you can walk into the house and people instantly feel your energy. And I'm not a big energy person, but, you know, still it's true. People that know you and care about you can tell when you're in a bad mood.
Right.
But if you're giving all this power away and you're constantly putting yourself willingly into that bad mood, you have nothing else left to give. your emotional dollars, as my therapist has put it so many times eloquently, are spent at the end of the day. You have no more emotional dollars to give to your family. You have no more emotional dollars to give to your friends because you have spent everything on stuff that really doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. So it's just that power of refocusing.
We know the good book says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, okay? And I've interpreted that to mean this, and I'm no expert, but you know, this is what I've taken it to mean is that, you know, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Would you flip that? If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You know, and your neighbor could be your wife, your kids, whoever. Yes, whoever's close by. But you really have to guard that in yourself. And you're right, the stuff steals it from you. And I can't tell you how many I talk to people all the time, and I'm in different civic groups, and I work at the food bank and things like that. I talk to people, and I catch people that are in bad moods, and that I can tell that their power's gone. I can tell their battery's empty. They have no more emotional cash to give out. And I ask them one simple question. I said, hey, what's your favorite news show? And they'll tell me. And I say, whatever it is on TV. And I said, well, how often do you watch it? Well, we try to catch it every day. And I'm like, okay, let me challenge you to do something. Stop that for a week and see how you feel in a week. Just fast. Take a fast. The world ain't going to change. I'll tell you, I haven't watched news for months. I'm talking about months, like 7-8 months. I have not watched the news, and I feel great. I know what's going on because I read. But I did an experiment for about what caused me to take this news fast. I did an experiment for about 2 months. I just watched a Sunday news show. I watched one single Sunday news show every Sunday. And you know, from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, not much changed. Mm-hmm. Not much changed. So I woke up and something woke up in my mind and said, why are you doing this to yourself? And I, people do it to themselves every day. They listen to, music that is that doesn't uplift them. They read things that don't uplift them. They let somebody else tell them how to think from 1,000 miles away. And they wonder why their emotional wallet is empty. You can put your finger on that pretty quickly. And I feel so strongly that people need to step away from the world so they can protect their world, because the world and my world are two different things, the world honestly doesn't have a whole lot of effect on my world 99.5% of the time. Yeah. And I think people need to recognize that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, since we're on the topic, and we're getting close to our end of our time here, so I got just a couple more questions, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. When we're talking about protecting our minds, and we're talking about emotional dollars to be able to bring to the things that really matter in life, what's something that you've either spent emotional dollars on or physical dollars on, or just invested in, that you feel has made an impact on your life, your happiness? The experiment you mentioned a second ago with turning the news off is a great example of an investment you made in, an experiment to see how it would affect your emotions and your, your overall positive chemistry. But what's something else that you've invested in recently?
I can't overemphasize the importance of investing in journaling. People are going to go, well, how's that an investment? Well, it's an investment in time. I spend about 10 to 15 minutes a day writing out a single page, just a single page in a notebook about this big, every single day. I write in that book. And what I found myself doing mostly now for the last few months is writing basically prayers, because I think I get things out better when I do that. And I complain and I fuss and I write out my thoughts, but there's a cleansing to it. There's such a cleansing because we hold so much inside of us, and it seems we get overwhelmed. And a guy told me one time a long time ago, and it was the greatest piece of advice. He said, put a notepad by your bed. If you can't sleep at night, set up, write down what's on your mind on that notepad, because the mind holds things because it's afraid it's going to get lost sometimes. And when you journal, you get those things out of your mind and onto a piece of paper in a book, and your mind all of a sudden goes, okay, it's safe. So I can let it go because it's safe. Second thing I did is I've really gotten into goal setting. I've really started doing goal setting more and more and more and reviewing my goals. Because what I found, I went back scrolling through old journals, just reading, you know, sometimes the crazy things I would write. And I found some goals that I had written down. And you know what? I hit them all. I didn't review them. I wrote them down two or three times, but I hit every single one of them. And it made me realize there's a lot of power in these goals. Once you put it on a piece of paper, once you write it, once you give it life, then it's like you said, an avalanche effect. It just sort of starts, the universe, God, the world, makes things move in your favor. But you have to get it out of your head, because Brian Tracy made a great comment one time. He said, goals not written down are simply dreams.
That's good.
And writing things down, journaling, goal setting, that's an investment I made in the last year. I've really become very, very religious about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that goal setting and journaling is an amazing tip for people, and that's one thing that I've tried to do in my life, for the past 10 years, and it's just made a massive difference. Because I mean, you know, I can't remember who said it, but it was an analogy of an archer being able to hit a target. Do you know the quote that I'm trying to think of?
No, I know Zig Ziglar has talked a lot about, you can't hit
a target that you can't see.
Blindfolded. Yeah, he said the story is this. There was this great archer named Howard Hunt, and Howard Hunt was the greatest archer in the world. Howard Hunt could shoot bows of arrows and split arrows with arrows. Fantastic. But he said, I will tell you this. He said, on any day, I can be a better archer than Howard Hunt. He said, any day, I would be a better archer than Howard Hunt. He said, and I never even picked up a bow and arrow. And he said, provided that we put a blindfold on Howard Hunt and spin him in circles two or three times before we let him shoot. And the moral of that is, you can't hit a target you can't see.
Right.
And you can't hit a target that you're not oriented to. And that's very true. Goals, right? You can't, people say, God, I wish I felt better. Okay. Well, my obvious fault, that is, well, what's your plan? What are you doing? You know, and they'll say, well, I'm going to eat better. What, you know, they don't have a goal. They have a, you know, I want to make more money. I want to get a better job. But people just complain about it rather than saying, okay, I'm going to begin interviewing Monday at XY, at these companies. I'm going to begin put applications out to these. I'm going to begin to eat right. I'm going to start walking around the block. I'm going to do one round around the block a day. You know, they have specific goals that are not only specific, but measurable, and also are time sensitive. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it by December 31st. You know, those kind of things. And people don't realize the power of putting specifics to goals and being very specific with your goals.
Yeah, it's the small stepping stones towards the, you know, big, hairy, audacious goal at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little things that, you know, swing the big doors. In the last moment here, is there anything that you'd like to close with? Any final statements, any words of wisdom, positive affirmation that you'd like to pass along to everyone?
Well, I think in this time we're in right now, there's a lot of people that are feeling overwhelmed. There's a lot of people that are feeling unfocused. They're things are starting to kind of loosen up, but people are kind of still kind of stumbling around a little bit. I would say two things. Take time for yourself. Well, maybe more than two things. Take time for yourself. Take time for yourself. Okay. Don't just give. You have to be you can be a taker sometimes. It's okay to be a taker, you know, but you have to do it in the right way, and you have to do it for yourself. Get out and walk around, get outside. I see people that are, you know, I, you know, God love our government, but I heard a quote the other day that said, you know, maybe it's okay for people to get outside now without their mask. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been outside a lot without mine because you have to get fresh air. So take a step, go outside. You don't have to be around a bunch of people. Go walk around, walk by yourself. It's, you know, if you're worried about it, but get out and get some fresh air. And, right. And the other thing is if you're feeling down and you're feeling low, make a gratitude list because there's power in gratitude, and you empower gratitude when you write it down. And when you voice it, when you say it, you remind yourself every single day that of what you have to be grateful for. So invest in yourself, get outside, and make a gratitude list. Those are my three things that you can do right now if you find yourself right now stuck in a spot where you wish you weren't at.
Yeah. Yep. The only thing I would add to that is if you're feeling overwhelmed, just don't look at the full list. Pick one thing, focus on it, and just get through the moment. Because it's so easy to look at to zoom out and look at it as a whole versus to focus on one singular thing, put your head down and get through it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being on the show again. It's great talking with you. It's a fun time to be able to celebrate our 1-year anniversary together and do this episode. I do appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here, man. God bless you guys, and God bless all the people out there in child nutrition and all the people that are watching this. You know, we love you, and we appreciate the work you do, and we're going to continue to try to offer things that are uplifting and motivational, and also present you some of the finest leaders across the country in child nutrition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. Again, my name is Wes Christian. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you again next week at 12:00 Pacific Standard Time.